bid us come and worship. We gather together in this morning to celebrate the birth of your Son, the greatest gift that will ever be received on this earth. We gather together to celebrate the life that you gave to Jesus Christ in the form of this child. And we also gather to celebrate the life that we can receive from this child, new life, that our hearts of stone can be turned into hearts of flesh, that we can be given everlasting life, that we can celebrate together as brothers and sisters, as fellow children of God. We know that we do not deserve this great gift, yet we willingly and gratefully accept this blessing from your hand. Since you have called us to pray to you, and you have taught us to pray, we expectantly wait to be blessed. We confess that prayer is the most important part of thankfulness, so we respond in praise and adoration. It is fitting that we come together as a congregation to give thanks for the many blessings that we have received, the blessings all related to Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord, who is Emmanuel, God with us. We begin our prayer by calling you our Father, because in Christ we are your children. We know that you will not refuse us any good thing, and that you will give us all that we need in both our body and our soul. We praise your great name and we worship you for all the works of wonder that you have done, for creation, for preservation, and for your providence. May your name be holy to us, and may you be honored and praised. Rule us also by your word and spirit in such a way that we more and more submit to you, and that your kingdom become manifest in our hearts and lives. Destroy the evil in this world and the evil in our own hearts. Help us and all men to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any backtalk, for your will alone is good. Help everyone to carry out the task that they are called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. We also pray that you will grant to us our daily bread. Take care of our physical needs so that we can know that you alone are the source of every good and perfect gift, and help us to trust in you alone to provide for these needs. Forgive us our debts, and do not hold our sins or our evil that clings to us against us. Forgive us just as we are fully determined to forgive our neighbor. We confess that by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment, and that our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, never stop attacking us. So uphold us and make us strong, so that we might firmly resist our enemies until we finally win complete victory through your blood. We have made all these requests to you because as our King, you not only desire to, but you are also able to give us all that is good, and because your name alone is holy and should receive praise. And we know that you hear and answer our prayers even more than we really desire what we pray for. So we come together as a congregation, not in our own strength, but in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, whose birth we celebrate this day. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together for our scripture passage to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we'll be reading the first 20 verses together. Luke chapter 2. We'll start our reading at verse 1, but our text will begin in verse 8. Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And here's our text. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we come together this morning to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give praise to God for sending the gift of his only begotten Son to be born of the Virgin Mary, all for our sake. God has been working through history from the very time of creation. The promise of a seed that would come from a woman that would crush the head of the serpent. And today we find out who that child is. Who is that one who was promised of old? As we've been looking at these past couple weeks, we've seen all these prophecies focusing their attention on this one place, on this one person, our Lord Jesus Christ. God was bringing forth the birth of his Son for the salvation of the elect. As Martin Luther said, the mystery of the humanity of Christ, that he sunk himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding. Now, recently I was watching TV, and I was watching a show where it was a sappy show, and this guy was trying to do something nice for his girlfriend. And at the climax of this whole story, there was this majestic tree. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes Santa on a sleigh on one side of the tree. And on the other side of the tree, you see this heavenly angel and Joseph and Mary and a baby in a manger. This is complete nonsense that the world would think to bring these two things together to try to bring about some sort of sentimental feeling in our hearts. These stories, when they're brought together in this way, they're seen as being myths, something we tell our children, like Santa Claus, you better watch out, you better not cry. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake. That's what Jesus becomes too. You better behave because God is everywhere, and if you don't look out, he will strike you down. When we draw these things together in Christmas, the fact of Christmas and the majestic story loses all appeal. It makes no sense and it has no meaning. This is a rejection of Christmas and its wonder. The church is ever in danger of losing the adoration concerning this blessed event. We become so familiar with this scene that we forget the sheer wonder that God took on humanity. The Creator became a creature for our sake. Today in this Christmas story, we will look at the wonderful work of God. And this wonderful work of God draws His creatures to glorify Him. We'll first consider the angel's message explaining God's work. And secondly, we'll look at the response to this message. The wonderful work of God draws His creatures to glorify Him. Now, during this time of year, there are many catchy phrases that people bring up, like, Jesus is the reason for the season. Yet we must always remember why the birth of Jesus Christ is so important. We always have to remember that we are not just worshiping a baby born in a manger, but the reason He was born, it was part of His humiliation, part of His entire life leading up to His death on the cross, which led to His exaltation. His birth was the beginning of His death, and that was all for our sins. In other words, the birth of Jesus must always be connected to our salvation in order for there to be a true reason to rejoice. If we simply celebrated one birth of one child, it would mean no different than the birth of any of our children, unless we connect that birth to our salvation. God became man for the sake of His elect. Our salvation from sin is the reason that we are filled with joy. Now, as we begin to consider this story that we know so well, we consider the message that was brought to these shepherds. Verse 9, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." Now, the first thing that we have to remember, we can't skip over this fact too quickly, is that angels appeared to shepherds. The fact that angels were sent to these shepherds shows us that this is a significant and important event. These shepherds were keeping watch over their flock by night. Our Father in heaven could not let the birth of His Son go unannounced and unproclaimed. So He sends His messenger to these shepherds so that they might know that a divine event was taking place. Now imagine that you are sitting in pitch black darkness when suddenly an heavenly angel appears to you and the glory of the Lord shines around you. This angel does not come by himself, but rather the glory of the Lord filled this place. When this angel comes to the sight of the believers, to the sight of these shepherds, the glory of God shines around them. Whenever we think of the glory of God, we should remember things like Mount Sinai with Moses, or perhaps the glory that filled the Old Testament temple, or even when Jesus on the mountain, on the Mount of Olives, was glorified and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The Shekinah glory of the Old Testament that led Israel through the wilderness. But in Ezekiel, we find that the glory of the Lord departed from the temple, was no longer in Jerusalem. But in this story, the glory of God that had been removed from Jerusalem, removed from Israel because of their sin, was suddenly back on the scene. What had been taken away was again in the sight of God's children. The very glory of God returned at the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord. The Old Testament temple would soon be destroyed, but one greater than the temple had arrived, and His glory would soon fill the earth. Now, the appearance of this great light, this glory, which is unapproachable, and this heavenly messenger rightly causes the shepherds to fall down in fear. They're rightly terrified. A world-changing event was taking place, and these shepherds couldn't wrap their minds around the magnitude. Now, consider that you're sitting in your home at night, and it's a really dark night, no moon, all your lights are shut off. Suddenly, someone walks into your room and flips on all the lights. Well, you're left blinking. You can't figure out what's going on, and that's exactly what's happening with these shepherds. Similar to the way that your eyes need to adjust to this light after you're sleeping, these shepherds are left terrified and speechless. But in response to this terror and fear, the Lord brings a message of comfort and peace. Verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Fear not, my beloved child. The Father was speaking through this messenger, telling them that they could and must take heart. Do not be filled with dismay, because Jesus had been born. There is no need to fear. It was fitting that they should be filled with awe and adoration, yet the fear was overwhelming them so much that it was hindering their response of faith. God, in his great comfort, takes away these fears of destruction. The angel was sent to them with a message of mercy and kindness, not destruction and death. The birth of Jesus Christ is the source, the very foundation of this joy. This angel could not bring a message of joy, peace, and reconciliation unless Jesus Christ had been born. Now the angel continues this message of great joy and good news for all the people. Those who are united to Christ in faith, those who hear and accept the good news of the gospel, are promised joy and peace. Joy and peace in this world can only be secured in Christ, like we saw last week. This is the message that the angel was bringing. Peace on earth because grace had been received, because Christ had been sent. The salvation of men is the source of this great joy. Believers are ones who receive this great joy because they receive the message of the gospel. And because of Jesus Christ and his work, there is now peace between God and man. This is the great joy because it surpasses all toil and tribulation that we may endure on this earth. As Paul says, the trials of this life are nothing compared to the insurmountable glories of the life to come. The trials of this life, Paul says this. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by snakes. He was cast into prisons and tormented and persecuted. The trials of this life are nothing. Insurmountable glories of the life to come. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let our joy in this season, in this day, not be in the gifts that we receive, or not even in the gatherings that we partake in, but rather let our joy be found foundationally in that we have been blessed. We have been given. We have received Jesus Christ. Let us learn to be delighted in the joy of our salvation. This is true joy. This is the message of good news that is for all the people. Once again, the angel brings before us that it's a message for all the people, not just to these shepherds, not just to the nation of Israel, but as we find in Acts, it goes to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to you. The very ends of the earth, for all tribes and all people, all true children of Abraham, the true nation of Israel, God's children. Now, when the angel says that this joy is for all the people, he is expressing the truth that the gospel was designed to go to all lands and all people. Matthew 28. All lands, all nations, make them disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is a great sin when those who believe in election use it as an excuse not to proclaim the good news to all who have ears. If the angel is correct, if this message is true, the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ is not to be confined within these walls, but is to go out to all that we meet, to the streets and the highways of the world, to the people that we work with. so that they may be drawn within these walls to hear the gospel, the good news, the birth of Jesus Christ proclaimed. We have no right to exclude people from their right to hear the good news. All must hear. Now we may know that some will not repent, but we must do all in our power by the aid of the Spirit to proclaim the gospel to all who have ears. Let's leave election and reprobation in God's hands. That's not for us to decide. But we must make the gospel plain and clear to everyone who we meet. For today in the town of Bethlehem, a baby is born who is Jesus, our Savior. He is Christ the Lord. Now the angel goes on in verse 11 and 12 to give the shepherds a sign by which they can find this Savior, where they can know him. Mentioning the city of David would be completely unnecessary unless it was pointing to Old Testament prophecies. The Redeemer promised all those years ago has been born this day to you. As Isaiah 9 says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now we've looked at the message, what exactly they were proclaiming, this angel was saying. But now let's look at the response. What happens as soon as this message goes forth? Well, as soon as the message was finished being told about the birth of the Savior, this one angel was joined by a host of heavenly angels, a multitude of glorious beings, all saying praise and glory to God and his name. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. With one voice, or with a solid witness or testament to the truth, these angels join together and praise God. The angels had no choice. They were on the brink of heaven listening to this news, listening to the message of the birth of Jesus Christ. And as soon as this angel is finished telling the story, they bust it down to these shepherds and they praise God because this message is so glorious that it cannot be contained. They are like a heavenly army. That's what host mean. It's a multitude of army-robed angels who praise God. They respond with rejoicing and adoration because of this marvelous work. Now, we don't know a lot about angels, but we do know that they are heavenly beings who are majestic, who are terrifying to behold, and extremely powerful. We know of Gabriel, who is God's messenger, and Michael, who is the leader of God's army. There were angels who guarded the way into Eden with a flaming sword. And there are angels who guarded the way into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. But these majestic creatures have heard of God's grace. They have heard of this redemption sent to man, the Creator become flesh. And after this story had been told by that first angel, a whole host, a mighty army appears in the heavens to speak of God's glory and grace. Now it's interesting to read that it says that they were saying glory to God, but they were still speaking it with their mouths. So when we praise God, it is fitting that we sing. Now remember that these angels are not the ones receiving salvation. This salvation, this Savior, was given to man. Jesus does not become an angel. He becomes flesh and blood, like you and like me. Mankind is the one that receives this Savior. Yet the angels are the ones who we find with adoration and praise. The angels weren't receiving anything from Jesus at this point. They were not being saved from their sins. But mankind are the ones who are receiving redemption. How much more should we, the ones who are being redeemed, respond with praise and adoration? The angels weren't getting anything from Jesus. They simply saw this great work and they responded with praise and adoration. But mankind, we are the ones who are being saved from hell and death. Can we not respond with praise and adoration? Can we not sing God's praise? We who are the ones who are no longer under the wrath of God? Now, whenever a new king would be born in the world, the entire nation would be called to rejoice. Bells would be rung over the entire country when a prince would be born. Now, God in his glory does not bring this message to princes or kings in their palaces. Rather, he brings this message to shepherds who were in the field. Jesus Christ was born in a manger in a little humble town of Bethlehem. The humility of the situation continues in that the first humans to receive the message were considered humble and of little regard. Shepherds were considered at the bottom of the heap. They had a job that few would desire. The pay was meek. It was difficult work. They would sleep outside. Their life was always on the brink of danger of being devoured by wolves and lions. They would spend long periods in the open fields and return to town very seldom. Yet God chose these weak things, these humble beings, to bring glory to his name and to humble those who are wise. The message of this birth was considered of little stature to the people of the world. Yet this message was the greatest message of all time. This was part of the humiliation of Jesus Christ. Not only did Jesus empty himself of all but love, he was not only considered of little regard by men, but even the recipients of this divine message of his arrival were lowly and humble. As Jesus explains in Luke 5, verse 30, the sick are the ones who are in need of a physician. Christ came not for those who thought they were righteous, rather for sinners. Now, as soon as these shepherds heard this good news, they hurried off to see what had happened. Verse 15. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Now, Bethlehem, as I told you last week, was not a huge city. It would not have taken them many hours to find this child wrapped in small strips that could be found. So the shepherds make haste and find this promised child. And when they find this promised child, they see that everything was told to them is true. Verse 17, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child." When you hear the good news, you can't help but explain it and tell to others. The shepherds were so filled with the praise of God that the sight of this little child lying in a feed trough did not deter them from glorifying and magnifying him as the King of Kings. They still honored him. How much more should we, who now serve not one who is lowly and born in a manger, but is ascended to the very right hand of God the Father? These shepherds glorified this little child, this little infant lying in a manger. But we now serve one who is at the very right hand of the throne in heaven. How much more should we glorify God? How much more should we be willing and faithful to testify about God's goodness? Should we not also publish abroad the wonderful works that he has done? When you see God's gift of salvation, you will tell others because your heart overflows with joy. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." These shepherds had now seen this glorious and holy child, and they returned to their fields changed men. They had not only heard the good news, but they had seen the very source of that good news. They are filled with zeal and glorified God and praised him. They departed that place and they told all that they met this about this great and glorious work. The message of this angel was already beginning to take place. what had been prophesied by this angel, that it would be a message for all the people, was beginning to happen. Because as these shepherds returned to their place, they were telling everyone that they saw about the wonderful works of God. The entire world was coming to know the joy and peace which comes only from God. The good news was being proclaimed because the blessed Son had been born. It's impossible for those who have seen and heard the good news not to respond to the glory of God. These shepherds had received the message from the angel. The angels responded to that message by saying glory and praising God. Peace had come to earth. Not only do these angels respond by praising God, the shepherds respond by praising God. And the shepherds respond by telling everyone of this great good news. They tell it to others, the whole community, all that God had done. When the good news is proclaimed, it must be met with faith and repentance. And when that good news is accepted, it must be met with joy and adoration. Like some of your small children, if they received a gift that they really, really wanted, a really nice gift, how do they respond? Well, their first response is joy. They are laughing and giggling. I'm so glad I got this gift. But what do? They go to school the next day and they tell everybody, look what my parents gave me. Don't I have such great parents? We also have received a great gift. The first response should be praise and adoration in our hearts. But we must also respond by telling everyone about this great gift that has been given to mankind. When joy and peace is received by men, we must respond in worship. That is why it is fitting to come here today, to praise our God for the great gift that we have received, to praise God for the gift of His Son, which brings peace on earth. Who brings peace between God and man, between man and man? Only Jesus Christ. True peace comes only in Him. The angels responded in praise. The shepherds responded in praise. How will you respond? By God's Spirit, let us glorify God. Let us praise and adore His name. And let us also respond by publishing abroad the wonders of His works. By God's Spirit, let us tell the entire world all that we meet, whatever opportunity is placed before us, about Jesus Christ. Because we have been given this great gift. We can't contain it. It just comes out of us because that joy is overflowing. For unto us is born this day in the city of David, Jesus Christ our Savior. And Mary gave birth to a son, her firstborn, and she called his name Jesus. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are truly filled with joy. We are filled with adoration. We can't help but sing praise to you, to worship you for this great gift that we have received. And we ask for your Spirit so that we might have the courage to publish abroad your wonderful works, which we ourselves have tasted of that fruit, that we may be a witness to tell others that Jesus Christ has been born, that there is a Savior, that there is peace on earth, and that we know who brings that peace, because He is the Prince of Peace, and He is the King of Kings. So as we depart from this place, may we remember that this Christmas day is to be a day where we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, not just His birth, but also His death, resurrection, and ascension, all for our sake, which purchased us from our sins. That precious blood, which is worth more than any gold or any silver, that we are no longer our own, but we were bought with a price. So may we remember that we have been redeemed, we have been purchased, and that our lives are to be lived as a thankful offering for the grace we have received. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn together to sing a song.